All right, you know what? Right now, why don't we do the official formal roll call? Formal roll call right now. So, if you've answered before, answer again. When you hear your name, please answer up. Joan DiLorenzo.
Did Elvis ever call in there?
I'm here.
Mario, please come to order. Joan DiLorenzo.
That's not me. That's not me.
Okay. The only thing I want here now is when I call somebody's name, hear them saying they're here. Joan DiLorenzo.
I'm here.
Jack DePalma.
He's here.
Martin Flynn. Martin Flynn, you were here before.
I'm here, sorry about
that. Okay, good. Noel Jameson. Noel Jameson, you here? R. Paul Martin, here. Matt Mazza.
Here, I'm here.
Carolyn McIntyre. Daryl McPherson.
Present.
Allie Murphy.
Presente.
Bertold Reimers. Doreen Roberts. James Sagerton.
Doreen, it's present.
James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
Here.
Michael D.D. White. M.K. Williams.
Here.
Okay, that. Let me check here. Is Noel Jameson here? Noel, he was here before. Okay. All right, but still we have 10. That's a quorum. We've got it. All right. We had a National Finance Committee meeting last night. Most of it was taken up with the KPFK draft FY25 budget, so that's where most of the time went for talking about all of this stuff. And we did get to hear about some other news, which is the KPFK building sale is going forward, and they are going to be lifting the liens on everything. And the executive director said that the building should go into escrow by the end of October, and that we will get the money then. So there's that. We also have other news here that the Pacifica Radio Archives and Legacy Project is going forward, and the first 20,000 materials to be digitized are being put together, and there are folks preparing materials for digitization. Interestingly, some people from WGBH are involved in that, and there are people at WGBH who are used to be from WBAI. So we have that going on, and for the loan, for the SBA loan, the EIDL loan, economic injury disaster loan, we are now paying the hardship rate of only $860 per month, and the arrearage that we piled up has been put at the very end of the loan, so I guess there'll be a bit of a balloon there, but that's going to mature in 30 years, or maybe now 29 years. I'm not going to worry about it because I won't be here. The 990s are going to be filed fairly soon. Early in 2025, the FY24 990s, those are for the IRS, are going to be filed. And we're gonna probably see audits actually happening because some of the proceeds from the sale of the KPFK building are going to be used for that. Okay. And I think we can leave it at that for now, and that's my report. Anybody have any questions or comments on the treasurer's report?
Daryl, what is that?
Okay, Daryl, anybody else? Okay, Daryl, go ahead.
Yes, is it appropriate to ask what the current debt of WBAI and Pacifica is, and who we owe?
It's appropriate to ask. I can't cough that up right away. I mean, we have. You mean the total? The total accounts payable. I haven't seen one for quite a while, so it had come down significantly, but I don't know if it's come down even more since then. So that's all I can say at this point in time. I have no new document related to accounts payable.
We have no figures as to what the total debt of the station and the foundation is?
Nothing new. Stuff we've had up here before in the past, but nothing new right now.
Okay, so is it possible to get a figure so that when you go ask people for money, you know, I know how much to ask for?
Are you going to ask somebody to give you hundreds of thousands of dollars? Okay.
I'm talking millions. I'm really tired of this $1.3 million to run the station where I can't make the numbers work because you're always behind in money with 1.3. Is that correct? Let me hold off because there are people here waiting to do other things.
Okay.
Can I apologize, this is Jack.
Okay, Jack DePalma, go ahead.
I don't think the member knows that we paid off the transmitter. We paid off a sizable sum of owed to the transmitter, which was a sizable chunk of our O's. So I understand.
Well, I reported that. Okay.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm asking if the member that's concerned about if it's 1.2
or 1.4
million.
Mr. Chairman, I will go over this. I'll be glad to go point by point.
The interim general manager is going to take care of that later in his other report.
Right.
So,
well, we'll handle that.
Anybody, any other comments or anything on
Mario?
Mario, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Can you, do you usually email that report out to the members?
Which report are you talking about?
The one you just recited.
No.
Oh,
it's an oral report.
All right, so we got to take notes.
The written
treasury
reports get sent out the morning of the LSB meeting.
Right. Okay, and that's by the general manager?
That's by me.
Oh, you,
all right,
okay.
So, anybody else?
Wait, all right. You tell me when it's the proper time. I just want to know what my status is, you know, attending the meeting. Thank you.
All right, hold on a minute, and I'm going to do that. All right, if there's nobody else with any of this, I have an official thing that I've got to read. Make a notation of it so nobody says I didn't do it. All right, so, while attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI LSB that for the local finance committee that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Is there anybody here who is not a member who wants to give me their name so that they can start becoming a member? Mario, do you want to try and become a member again?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I missed last month, but I went to two meetings. Yeah.
You missed a number of meetings. Okay, is there anybody else who wants to give me their name so they can become a member? Hearing none, I think, Mr. Timekeeper, I think that's it for the time for the treasurer's report, right?
I think four more names, but okay.
I have it starting at 1921, and it's 1931 now.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. All right, the next item on the agenda is WBAI and Pacifica Management presents present a draft FY25 budget proposal, and is the executive director on this call?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Madam Executive Director, go ahead. We're ready.
Okay. The budget was sent out to everyone, I believe, this morning. So if people want to go ahead and pull
Actually,
that up.
It was this afternoon, but yeah, it's been sent
okay.
out.
Okay. So it's WBAI Fiscal Year 25 Budget Draft. It is one page of a spreadsheet, one tab, but on that spreadsheet, we have on column C, the fiscal year 21 actuals, column D, the fiscal year 22 actuals, E, it's fiscal year 23 actuals. We have column F, which is fiscal year 24 Q2 actuals, and then based upon those and with reconciled bank statements, we have fiscal year 24 projected. So those are really just mostly for reference as we go through. Breakdown going from October through September, columns H through S, and that is the budget estimation for the proposed budget for fiscal year 25. We also have a notes column that just kind of explains some things to stave off any, you know, if anybody has any questions, there's some notes that are in there. One of the things to remember is we look at any of these proposed budgets for all of our divisions throughout Pacifica is that this is a guideline. It's a point of reference. It's a task list. It's a timeline. Basically, as we move forward throughout the fiscal year, these budgets are living documents, meaning that we hope and anticipate that our local finance committees and LSBs will take a look at these budgets on a regular basis. With meetings like this and in conversations with the interim general manager and as we go through those reconciled bank statements also each month, and then we can anticipate any sort of changes or fluctuations that we have, and that may be, and then we can make those changes accordingly so that we are very proactive with changes that we make rather than being reactive and looking at it at the end of the year and saying, oh, what happened? Or, oh, I didn't know we had so much extra money, or, oh, we're in debt, that kind of thing. So this is, again, a living document, and it will change and it will be adjusted as the year progresses so we can make those adjustments accordingly. Hello? If we have a good fund drive, if we have, we find something that we need to decrease Hello? Our expenses.
Hello.
Hold on. Somebody else is knocking things around and saying things. Will everyone who is not the executive director of the Pacific Foundation please mute yourself if at all possible? Thank
Hello.
You.
Yes, Denise from Hunanwo. I'm outside now.
Yeah, please mute yourself. Thank you. Go ahead, Madam Executive
Thank
Director.
You. Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
What we're really going Thank you. What we're really going to be focusing on is column T. So that is the proposed budget for this upcoming fiscal year. The first line that we're looking at is the first section is our revenue. And there are some of the line items also that are in this budget that will not be used, haven't been used in quite some time. And as we kind of look and work with this budget moving forward, I will, at that point, we will hide those lines because they're really not necessary, but we can talk about that as we move forward. In listener support, we use just an average based upon historically various things that have been coming in over these past, the first quarter of this fiscal year and the first two quarters, and based upon the how things are progressing so far. So we are at a conservative of listener support of $1,200,000. Breaking that down with the notes, we get roughly about $24,000 a month in our sustainers or our BAI buddies, which is equal to about $288,000 a year. It has been proposed, not just at WBAI, but at some of the other stations as well, is that we'll be working with each of the programmers individually to make sure that we're giving them everything they need to succeed and give them the tools that they need and brainstorming and funding opportunities so they can start bringing in sponsorships and underwriting for their programs. Some of the stations, we're asking that the programs bring in 5K a year. Some of them here we're looking for the possibility of programs bringing in 10K a year. Some of the programs are doing that already. Obviously, that is not going to be just a generic number across the board, but we are working with each of the programmers to make sure that we are giving them the tools they succeed, that they need to succeed, and encourage them on how to bring in some of that money. It breaks down roughly 10K a year to approximately $840 a month. I'm doing that in my head, so forgive me if I'm wrong with that. That concept of working with each program to bring in money is not reflected in this budget. It would equal close to $1 million if that was the case, but because that is something that we are working on right now, that is, again, one of those things that we can adjust as we move forward. And some of that money that can come in may not be technically listener support, but that would be put in possibly in major donor income. It could be put in under, you know, possibly a program could get a grant, and possibly a program, you know, hopefully would be with sponsorship and underwriting. There hasn't been a mail fund drive or website income, so that those two columns, or those two rows 5 and 6 right now, are blank. There may be something with website income that we can look at as we move into the next fiscal year, but just, again, to be on a conservative side, we've left that at zero. The corporate match that actually has been rolled out, and we're working on doing a greater outreach with that, but money has been coming in on a corporate match standpoint, so we're working on a better marketing plan with that, but there have been discussions already, and corporations and companies, donors, listeners reaching out to their companies for that corporate match. So we're anticipating, again, on a conservative side, of $1,200. Major donor income is any gift that is coming in at one time that is greater than $1,000. It's not a cumulative gift over the year, unless somebody is pledging that they're making a major gift and it will be equivalent to that, and then we can map that out as a pledge. But just based upon funding that has come in, already over these first few months, we have again conservatively and confidently say that we'll get and budgeted $12,000 for that. Down to line 11, which is car donations. That is moving along quite well, and WBAI does quite well with car donations, actually. So we have budgeted in revenue for that for fiscal year 25, $18,000. We don't have any community special events that are planned right now. If something does occur down in the fiscal year 25, we can adjust the revenue for that accordingly. But since we really don't have anything on the horizon right now, again, to be on the conservative side, we did not put many money into that, but that can change. Rent income is the subcarrier income. There's only one station. A lot of the subcarrier income is across the network. There's only three subcarriers that we are using right now, and they're slowly dwindling. But we are putting in $3,300 for that. Grants income, we have a lot of line items here for 16, 17, 18, and 19 that are grants. We don't receive CPB funding, so that line item, even though some of those line items are left in there, because there was money that was a credit that was attributed to those line items back in fiscal year 23. I'm not too sure what that was at the time. But we don't have any money that's nothing that is in the budget for that. But we do have grant income that is restricted and non-restricted income. I would like to break that out into two separate categories so we can have grants restricted and grants non-restricted. But for this purpose right here, we just have it as one. And again, we're being conservative at $40,000. We have a couple of grant applications that are out now, or grant prospects that we're working on right now. That actually would be much more than $40,000, but we are just, again, being on the conservative side with that. For miscellaneous other income, we don't have a line item for sponsorship and underwriting, so I do want to add that. Some of the stations do have that already in their budget, so I want to add that. We already have the general ledger, the GL number for that, so I'll just add it into this budget as we move forward into the new year. But for sponsorship and underwriting, $150,000. And even that is being conservative because already since April to now, we do have that has been received and or pledged at WBAI for local programming and national programming and underwriting, $150,000. And the money that has been brought in for the national programming, particularly the coverage of the elections, which are continuing through January 6th, WBAI was in charge of that, ran through that. We worked in a great partnership with the affiliates, wonderful coverage. Many of the stations across the network, both the affiliates and all of our main stations, all but two covered that. And even though that was money that was covered for national programming, we're definitely crediting that towards WBAI. So as we look, again, which is a very conservative approach to the revenue for this upcoming fiscal year, we have a total revenue of $1,424,500. As we go down into the expenses are clumped together in one rows 24 through 30, not including those are just operating expenses, and then we add the central services below that. A bigger breakdown for each of those expenses follows under starting on row 37. So we will go through it with a rundown, and then we'll go through with the details. For the general overall expenses, in a big picture, our personnel costs are $639,120. Board expenses, I've put in across the board $5,000 for board expenses, and that's usually what we put that in is to cover the elections. Really all that is, though, for the past 2 years, the election costs have been covered completely by the national office, but I just put it in the budget just to remind people that, you know, the elections do cost money, and most likely there won't be an election next year. So even though that's in the budget, it is something that is covered by the national office, so that would be zeroed out. Administration expenses, we have $127,920. Programming expenses, $234,480. Development expenses, $18,600. And community special events, that should be zero as I look at that now. So that should be, yeah, that should be zero. So I apologize that that is in there. But that would leave our total operating expenses of $1,025,120. As we go down, and I'll break that down as we move on. For central services, we have 15% of fiscal year 23 revenue, and that would be equivalent to $193,092. The archives in the past, the central service payments for the archives were approximately 7%. Since the archives at this point is undergoing, the archives are still moving forward with licensing and providing premiums, but we're really focusing on this digitization project so we can get all 80,000 of our pieces of material, not only our recordings, but also paper products as well, some of the historical programs that we have, and photographs and articles. We just found a wonderful transcription of an interview with Andy Warhol that the audio tapes had been destroyed, and it was an interview that he had at KPFK, and we just found the transcription of that. So it's those kind of things that as we're digging through a lot of the materials that have been in storage for the last few decades, that we really want to make sure that we're sorting in the correct way. So for the archives right now, we're not asking any of the stations to move forward and pay any central service fees. We are receiving grants to help support this project, and we are also still doing licensing and creating premiums for the stations that need them. So you'll see down in the programming expenses that when we, or development expenses, that we do have a small amount for any sort of premiums that would be purchased by the archives. So that is being deducted. That is not showing up in any of the budgets as we move forward. So with the total central services, that's $193,092. For a total expenses, again, even on this budget, the budget of total expenses is $1,228,212, but since I made a mistake and have $10,000 up there for the community special events, it would then be $1,218,212. So what that provides us then with is a net income, not a loss, of, I would have to add 10 to that, so that would be $206,288. So although the, again, on this budget it shows $196,288, we need to add the 10 that shouldn't be there with the special events. And so that's being quite conservative, and that also includes the paying of central services. One thing to note is that when someone was talking about the past due expenses, there was a lot of past due some of the stations have more past due to vendors than others. WBAI fortunately was able to catch up with the tower rent, so that was a huge thing that was able to be done. We were very grateful for that. We owed them at one point close to about $170,000. That was paid off. We now just have, I think, one. We just got the bill for the September payment coming through. There's an outstanding invoice for phone service, and that is going to be paid off. Actually, the national office is going to absorb that cost. It's roughly $130,000, and that was from the phone company that was providing the phones, the answering service for the phones. We are going to pay that off through the proceeds from the sale of the building, and that was something that we needed to do and were required to do after going through a arbitration negotiation at court. But other than that, most of the bills at WBI at this point are really focused on the unmet premiums, and Bob can talk about that later. There was at one point that money was owed to the donor software, the donor software system, but thanks to some generous donations from people that are on this phone call right now, we were able to pay that down and get full access once again to our donor software program. So as we go through the details of the expenses, we'll start with the salaries. The gross salaries are $444,000. They will be lower, though, because we do have one programmer that is semi-retiring and coming back on a per-show basis, and he will be paid accordingly on a per-show. And so they're going to be off of their severance payout by the end of this fiscal year. So this dollar amount may be a tad lower, but again, we're just being on the conservative side and keeping it consistent with what had been in the past. Payroll taxes, FICA, SUI, 401(k) matching contributions, health benefits, all pretty much remain the same at $34,800, $3,000, $2,520, and $154,008 for a total of salaries and related expenses of $639,120. And board expenses, again, that's the $5,000 for local board and election expenses. There should not be an election next year, to my knowledge, but we just, again, kind of just plugged that in there. But as I've said, over the past 2 years, the national office has covered the cost of the elections. For administrative expenses, we have the telephones. There's a new phone system in place, again, courtesy of someone on this phone, so a phone call, so we greatly appreciate your support, Mr. Flynn. And so there's $3,000 that we're anticipating for expenses for the phone. There's also phone lines that are due, and that's just administrative phones. There's also phone lines to do with the radio lines and the internet cable collection, and internet telephone radio lines. We're evaluating that connection right now, and so this may be an expense that will adjust as needed. Most likely there will be some adjustments. It won't be anything that great, but it most likely will not remain at zero. It may be a couple thousand dollars, if even that. The same thing with the internet cable collection connection. We are evaluating that as well, and we will adjust as necessary. But right now, we're just budgeting that out at $8,100. Postage, USPS, this is really just for administrative, not for any sort of development or programming expenses with postage. That is down on those line items, but guesstimation about $300. Paying, you know, if we have anything small to mail off, that may be little. Consultants, temps, and contractuals. One of the things that we made adjustments for last year across the network, and we're doing that again this year, is that a lot of our consultants, our temps, and our contractual employees, regardless of whether they were in development or programming or admin, were all clumped into admin. And we wanted to make sure, as we revised the budgets for fiscal year 25, that we put it out accordingly, the percentage of where those funds need to be. So then that way, from a funder's standpoint and grantees, when they're looking at us, they can get a more accurate picture of how we're spending our money. And it's not just admin, but we're spending money on programmers and we're spending money on development. So right now, the only consultant that we have with administrative expenses is an IT person, $36,000. But we also have a little bit more in that in case there's any other sort of, you know, consultant that we need to come in dealing with phones or the internet or, you know, something like that. Bank charges, pretty consistent across the board, $6,000. Office rent, we have line 71 at $50,400. Office supplies and expenses, again, that can fluctuate as we look with the actualities each month. That's at $4,000. Computer supplies and printer ink, which is line 76, $200. Rent, lease, equipment, $4,920, for a total of administrative expenses of $127,920, and that matches up to the numbers on top. For our programming expenses, our new service, the affiliates use a wonderful new service that they have been paying for, and a lot of the stations have been using some of the news feeds. And in my conversations with our affiliate director, the national office will be covering the cost for this because it is something that all of the stations can use and have access to use, and the affiliates have just been kind enough to be covering those costs. So we will be absorbing that through the national office. News department and stringers, we are currently, Bob is currently seeking a grant for this, as well as some of the other stations also. We're seeking grants to cover some of the interns, not, paid interns, but young students led by, mentors and news divisions, so we can start building out our network of, our news department. And it was a great example of how we worked with a lot of our affiliate stations for the convention coverage that really showed us how powerful and wonderful our affiliate stations are and what a strong network we have already of people that are active and eager to work in the news department. So that will be something that we will throughout the year have an expense for, but it will also balance out by adding a revenue of grants up in the top revenue section. Supplies, wire machines, $3,000. Maintenance, engineer, we have an IT field engineer at $9,600. Line 102, our rent expense for our tower, $182,400. Utilities tower, that's not a separate in 103. In the past, it has been billed out as separate, but it's actually all included in the rent. So when we get one bill from Durst, it covers and breaks it down for not only the rent, but also the power. So rather than breaking that out, since it's being paid to one vendor, we put that all in the same line item as we move forward. Consultants, temps, and contractuals. Again, this is one of these things that in the past it had all been put under admin, and that's not just WBAI. That was kind of a habit that was across many of our network or many of our stations. But we have broken it out so we get a better understanding of how funds are being spent. So for programming expenses for consultants at $39,480, that is broken down to four engineers that are being paid a SAG after rate, and the number of hours that they work, it's equivalent to one FTE, or full-time equivalent. So our total programming expenses are $234,480. As we move into our development expenses, again, some of these may change if we have some sort of mailing, a lot of the asks that we're doing and reaching out to LAP donors at this point is through email and phone calls. So right now we don't have any plans for any sort of direct mail piece, but again, that can easily change. And that's why we look at the budget. That's why we look at what we're planning for the year. And that's why we adjust it accordingly. But right now there isn't anything planned. We do send out postage for subscriber renewals and just reminders for any pledges that people have. So we have postage for that is $1,800. We have a development expense down at 122, which includes Allegiance, which is the donor software program at $5,400. Again, very simple here with the premiums from the Archives Department, PRA, which stands for Pacifica Radio Archives, at $800. And then premiums from other vendors, $10,000. And that can include logoed items. There's T-shirts, tote bags, coffee mugs, that kind of thing. And again, that can change accordingly, which is, again, as we look at the budget throughout the year, we can make those changes. And then any sort of premium sort of shipping and packaging is we have down at $600, so our total development expense of $18,600. And again, for community events, although I didn't remove that $10,000 from above, it right now is listed as zero with the TBD to be determined if we see as we move forward throughout the year that we do want to put, do some community community events or house parties or, you know, something special for major donors, that kind of thing. So that is a basic breakdown of the proposed budget for fiscal year 25. If anybody has any questions.
Okay. Mr. Henley, did you want to add onto something of this yourself right now?
Well, I just wanted to thank Stephanie for this, and also just to point out that we are still, it's very hard to do apples to apples because of the federal FCC consent decree. And so it's also, as I said before, it's like, you know, I made the reference that it's like changing the fan belts of a car with the engine running. So just to give you a snapshot, just 2 days ago, well, actually, when I was in New York yesterday, I picked up two checks for a total of $5,000. And this came in from the New York Nurses Association and the Uniform Firefighters Association. In one case, it had to do with the 9/11 extensive coverage we gave, the first female-only panel about the way that the World Trade Center program missed reproductive cancers for a generation of first responder women and civilians. It was breakthrough reporting that was supported. And then also, I just sent out an invoice for $10,000 from the American Federation of Government Employees. They, in addition to their $50,000, are supporting us for another 10. So that's just that just happened in the last few days. So that's not, as I say, that's not the whole enchilada, but it is an area that gives us a sense that there is community-based support. We're also in conversations. There is a $500,000 pool grant that we may have a piece of, certainly not the lion's share of, but a considerable portion related to interns for news gathering through the city of New York. We're working on that now. We're also getting back to the roots of radio. We had OEM Commissioner Iskalon with Keziah Glow and Isaac Ferguson. He is the commissioner for OEM. This turns out to be National Disaster Preparedness Month. And we are attempting, particularly because we know in our listenership there is a number of older folks, many of whom may not be involved with computers, who may be living in basement apartments. We do want to really make sure that, and this transcends politics, that we can help keep our community safe. One of the benefits of having Keziah as our interim program director is she has an established background working her community as leading a CERT committee, which is a group of local people committed to helping their neighbors in an emergency. We are hoping to be the kind of place that people, when they face something like a flash storm, when they face something like we had with Sandy, that it's a place where they can count on reliable, consistent information. And that doesn't mean in any way abandoning our political diversity. It means drilling down and doing better than WNYC, better than the CBS that's going off the air, because there's a space here to get back to the fundamentals of radio, which is to help each other and help the beloved community survive whatever comes our way.
Okay. All right. We'll have some questions. I will lead this off because I'm the one who has to make a report on it all. And first of all, it would have been really good if we could have gotten this like maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm working off just a couple of hours of looking at this, and so I by no means have all of my questions set up here, but I have some. And one of them is, okay, you said the money was used for the software system for donations. Is that Allegiance?
Yes.
Okay. And looking at the whole thing here, I'm seeing a total revenue of $1,287,000 and from FY23, and I'm seeing $1,424,000 for this, so an additional $137,000 of revenue. And You figure that's going to be mostly the sponsorships underwriting. You're going to get $137,000 out of that mostly.
I would say probably a little better than that. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, since April, we've already received $150,000.
All right. Okay, and operating. Okay, the operating expenses are about for FY25 in this budget are about $308,000 less than the FY23 total was, because FY24 we don't have all of yet, but we do have FY23, and this is $308,000 less. I have not been able to add up everything you just said, but okay, so you're figuring it. $308,000 is about what you figure we're saving for total operating expenses, all right? Is that about right?
Yes, and if you look through and compare with some of the other fiscal years, there were the telephones were costing between roughly $21,000. There was $228,000 in consultants, which has now been brought down to $36,000. So the consultants in fiscal year 21 was $228,000. In fiscal year 22, $170,000. And in fiscal year 23, $164,000.
I believe that's also a legacy issue of the premium concept, bringing in people that would be driving the pledge train. I mean, so those are some legacy issues. I believe that's where, I mean, I wasn't here, but I imagine that's where your people that were brought in that were spark plugs for getting, you know, the premium traffic going, the merchandising going.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Okay.
And even just as you look through in the purchase of premiums from other vendors, the costs in fiscal year 21 were $115,000, fiscal year 22, $89,000, and 23, $36,000. And there were also fund drive expenses, which covered the costs of again, more consultants or pitchers that would be hired to be brought in. And if you look at those first three fiscal years, there was $78,000 for pitchers in 21, $93,000 in fiscal year 22, and $60,000 in fiscal year 23.
Okay, so
those expenses are not there anymore, and that's a significant savings.
Okay, and on tower expense, okay, so you've broken it out between the actual tower expense and the utilities. The utilities are variable, and so I don't know. I'm just saying the utilities are variable, and so I think you might be off by a bit on that, because the people who run those buildings are gonets and will gouge us on electricity and mopping the floors or whatever else they can get. So also, is there any
I pulled the numbers for that historically looking through the bills and actually rounded up.
Okay.
So the budget, the cost of utilities has varied in each of the bills as I looked, again, back historically. Average maybe a $50 difference, a $200 difference, but in averaging out and then rounding up, we're covering what that cost would be.
Okay. And I was in the middle of saying something on that, but I can't remember it. Okay. Now you have subcarrier income. So this is something we've talked about here for more than a decade. And the subcarrier, of course, comes out of our transmitter. And the national office changed things many years ago and made it so that all of that belongs to the national office. Is this a change? I know that there's not a lot of money there, but is this a change in policy by national?
It isn't, but a lot of the subcarrier income is because it is so small, and there's so many questions that are asked about the subcarrier income, and any issues and concerns and support provided to the subcarriers is provided by the national office, but because there are so many questions and pushback regarding subcarrier income, I have added it to this budget and anticipate that the income could then be turned around and used as part of the central service payments toward us, toward the national office, to help support what we do for the subcarriers when there are concerns.
Oh, I've seen this before. All right, so basically, what's happening is with
some, but again, what's happened is that we're consistently being asked, where's that subcarrier income? Where's that subcarrier income? And then when we say it's going to the national office, then we get a lot of pushback. Well, what's the dollar amount? Well, how much of it is WBAI's? How much is coming from our, you know, so it's kind of a, I don't put it in there and I get pushback. I put it in there and then it gets questioned. So this is just so you guys know exactly what is coming in from your subcarrier.
All right. So is this only our subcarrier, or are other station subcarriers, are the other stations getting their subcarriers too?
They are. There's only $1,000 at another station and I think $3,000 at another.
Okay. It sounds like you've submitted to pressure there, but I will point out, by the way, that this determination for SCA was by the Pacifica National Board along with the national office, so it might be necessary at some point to make this official by bringing it to the national board to reverse it. There's also the fact that if we're going to get the money and then immediately put it back to the national office as central services, you know, it's kind of a zero-sum game. If the national office was going to get $3,000 a year out of this, and now it's going to sort of get it from us somehow, it seems like it's just one of those bookkeeping things you said you didn't like to do. And, you know,
well, no,
will it be
it
real money?
Yeah, it isn't a bookkeeping thing because it is real money, and I want to give soft credit to where it's due. It's like, you know, if somebody is making a donation but the money is coming from their company or their family foundation, when you log something into your donor software system, the check may come from, you know, Acme Family Foundation, but it's giving a soft credit to the person that is moving that. So I just want to make sure that when this funding comes in, that it is soft credited, that the income that is coming in is for WBAI, and that's because it's coming in because of that. The total of all of this, maybe that subcarrier income, they, you know, is decided not to be part of central service payments. You say that you're, you know, the central service payments aren't broken down by, we're going to pull this money from this grant, this money from this donor, this money from this subcarrier income, this money from this non-restricted grant. The central service payments are central service payments, a set amount each month. And that's based upon the total revenue. So I just want to make sure that credit is given where credit is given if that subcarrier station is part of that band for that station.
And our Paul, if I may say something here, one of the things is that there is, when we see the ACD predatory call center, and I say that because when I looked them up, they got a D-minus from the Better Business Bureau. And they were charging 97 cents a minute, and that included even handling calls that had nothing to do with new revenue or new pledges, but speaking to people who were looking for past pledges. The fact that I understand that initially, in addition to the $150,000, $60,000 arrearage, they actually attempted to extract another $500,000 from the foundation during the arbitration, because of how they felt they were abused by this organization. And so there is some benefit, and there are people, by the way, that work in the network that help the network and the station deliver things. So there are salaries related to the streaming and all the maintenance of the network system that we use during the convention and that we use throughout the broadcast day. So it's not like just a situation where they're only taking. So I just think that has to be put in some context.
Uh-huh. And so, all right, that's another thing to talk about at some other point. So bottom line, you're looking at FY25 being a bit more than $500,000 better in the bottom line than FY23 was. And I think that's very ambitious, and we're going to have to look at this some more and think about it some more, and well, we'll see what happens. All right, so that's what I have right here. Let's throw open the floor and create a stack for folks who want to comment or ask questions. Anybody?
Mario.
Anybody else?
Can you hear me?
Roberts? Okay.
Matt
Mazza. Anybody else? Okay. We can go with those three for now. Right now, however, I want to say, is Noel Jameson here?
Yes.
Ah, good. Okay. And okay, I think that's the main thing right there, is you're here. Okay, so right now we have Mario Mastrandrea, Serene Roberts, Matt Mazza. So Mario, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. The first question is to you, R. Paul, and then I'll get to the exec. You got this report in the email. Can you give me a copy or forward me a copy?
You're on the mailing list. I sent it to the mailing list.
Got it. I will check. And just a quick question. What is the total budget still to operate BAI per month? The cost, rather.
Per month?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get back.
Still 100, 120?
Oh, it's, well... Let's look here. The total expenses are $1.2 million. So divide that
all
by
right,
12.
All right, 120. Yeah, yeah.
And you got about 120 a month.
Okay, got it. To the Madam Exec, is this structure that's laid out here that's happening now with BAI? Is this happening at the other network wide? This type of new approach or plan or let's say a more focus on this type of approach to raising money and getting money.
Approach meaning providing, having people give money to the stations to support the stations and not purchase a product?
Well, what's happening at BAI now and the unions, is that also happening at the other stations?
Well, we're getting sponsorship dollars. There's really nothing. I'm not looking at, you know, fundraising where we're only going to unions or we're doing things that are changes. I mean, the changes So sponsorship and underwriting is something that has been rolled out at all of the stations, and that was per a motion that was passed by the PNB, I believe, not this past April, but the April before, where we have been income stream. Yes.
Thank you very much. Now, what is the total gross take of the whole Pacifica network per year, approximately, not holding you to an exact figure?
Between 10 to 12 million is our budget.
10 to 12. Okay, that's what it was in 2012. Okay, and one other suggestion, maybe we could put in the budget some petty cash expenses or, you know, to pay for things that teams of volunteers may need. Incidentals and odds and ends to do their volunteering, whether it be, you know, if they have to deliver something, you know, subway fare or anything clerical that they might need if they're doing mailing or things like that. So just a suggestion to create some, you know, put that in the budget possibly in the future or maybe add that in. That's what I have for now. Thank you.
Those would be under office expenses and supplies. It's also petty cash.
Okay, great. Okay,
yes.
Great. Okay, yep.
Okay.
Thank you. That's me for now.
Next,
yep.
Next person is Serene Roberts. You have the floor.
Okay, thanks. This is good to see the subcarrier income showing up on WBAI's books, because after all, we're the ones paying the rent for the antenna, which, you know, from which the subcarriers are able to get to be utilized. But am I seeing a claim that there's $3,300 per year generated by the subcarriers from the year?
Yes, $3,300. It's not huge. And a lot of the subcarriers that we have had, they stopped paying at the time of COVID. They were, the executive director that was at the time told a lot of the subcarriers that they didn't have to pay for the services. And then it was difficult to get quite a few of them back on track. A lot of the smaller radio stations that were using those services dropped out, and we just have three of them right now, and one of them is in the process of closing. So the whole concept of the subcarrier income is really quite dwindling compared to what it was, I would say, a decade ago or even 5 years ago.
Well, the last audit that I saw, I think a couple of years ago, it was $124,000. So I suspect that $3,300 per year, WBI had when last I heard, two subcarriers. So I think there's a motion somewhere dying on the PNB agenda to actually get a report. And, you know, since we're in the budget discussion, I would urge you to prepare that report even before the motion actually gets addressed, that really explains how it is that, you know, what subcarriers are in use. I know K had one, and we had one, and there's one in A where no one has paid in gazillion years. No one's even heard a broadcast in gazillion years, so we don't even know if that thing is in use or what the story is out there. But yeah, that report is still needed. That $3,300 strains credulity. But I will follow up with you. There are some
May
other
I also
questions.
Just okay. I had a clarification on this also, that we also should probably think about the HD potentiality, because that's kind of where things are going. And from understanding with speaking with Ma Brown, there are four HD potential things. We'd need a $12,000 piece of equipment, and it's possible to realize under SEC regulations, we can broker, we can't make money off of it, but we could help retire some of that rent. We could actually neutralize that $15,000-$16,000 monthly income. But I do think I think it would be great to have a report about all of these things together at the same time.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know how long it'll take them to get the HD story together around the network. DC was supposed to, I think DC just finally tripped into its HD status last year, but I don't know that I've heard any reporting about how they're using it, if they're using it yet. And Houston, of course, they used to have two HD channels, I think, and one was being used by, was it the University of Texas or something? Whatever's coming down the pike in terms of additional income, you know, even if it just cancels out what we're paying for rent, that's great. But on the SCA, that $3,300 doesn't even cover what used to be a month of income from the WBAI rentals. So I would certainly like to see that report. On the 440, was it 440 or so for salaries? I'd like to have a breakdown of what positions are within that. And I noticed we have not had a discussion about spending priorities for the station. But I suppose that'll come up after this report, maybe as the next agenda item. I don't know where we are on the agenda with that. But yeah, please follow up on the SBA. Thanks very much.
Okay. Let me, since the interim general manager brought up HD, which is high definition, let me point out that we almost had that some years ago, and at that point, that general manager said that it was the number $85,000 was floated around. Right now, since it's quite a few years, more than 10 years ago now, right now that that figure. I can't remember if we were supposed to raise the 85 or half the 85, because there was a donation to get us HD, and the requirement was that we raise an equal amount, that we match what we were given. And the program to raise that money never even started, and so we lost it completely. Anyway, so it was at least going to cost $85,000 to upgrade things to do HD at the transmitter more than 10 years ago. I don't know. Maybe it costs less now. Maybe better equipment or something. Just a little something in there from the ancient stuff. Okay. The next person is Matt Mazza. Matt, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, everyone. A couple of things going on. With these premiums, with the newest model of I believe a lot of educational material has been cut out, which is which is antipathetic to the mission statement of Pacifica as an educational entity. The other thing is financial autonomy to some degree of the radio stations. Is there something, is the bylaws lay out exactly how it's to be done? We used to have a credit debit card so that we can go and buy copy paper if we needed it in an emergency. We have nothing now. We get checks, they go into this bank account, and we never see it locally. Other thing is, I work closely with David Rothenberg. He raises between $5,000 and $10,000 a month. He has still not gotten reimbursed the books that he purchased. Every week I have to pick up his pledges that he gets from theater tickets, and he tells me, I didn't get my $19. I didn't get my... What's going on? He says he sent the documentation to California, and then he got another request for another copy of paid invoices for the books that he sent. That book from Felipe Luciano in the flesh, literally thousands of dollars, could have gotten thousands of dollars more if he had gotten reimbursed and been able to order more books. So that is the main issue. These premiums, by the way, documentaries that Mimi Rosenberg does of building bridges cost almost nothing to make. I produce them in-house. I burn them, print them, and Mimi has not been able to meet with Bob to establish copyright issues that are supposedly the issue. Most of these things are public domain, but this could be worked out, and we could have the educational materials distributed, and we would get side money. Money to sustain, but call it gravy from the, in addition to whatever grants that we may get, and have the educational materials on Israel, Palestine, South America, Native American history, slavery, just innumerable amazing documentaries. If you like, I could send you some of them. Look at them. That's it. Thank you very much.
I guess I can take those if I may, Chair.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I just did get, by the way, we just ran the numbers and we're very grateful for David to what he does. It's like right now, it's like $1,500 to $2,000. It's like, you know, it's not quite as high as $100,000, but it's wonderful. And we're so glad he's been patient to work with us and put it in compliance with the FCC guidance. I just got his copy of the documents that you referred to about the purchase of the books, and that's my top priority. I just got it the other day. One of the things that, and I was going to get into this later on, but we're in the process now of that space was in a distressed circumstance. There was a lot of clutter, and we don't really know what we have, so we're in the process of doing with Gaziah's help and volunteers. We are taking all the books and putting them downstairs on the first floor in that large area, going through all of them, cataloging them, taking advantage of the generosity. KPFK did us a solid. Michael Novick sent us quite a bit of Gary Null material. And so that's those cardboard boxes in the hallway. We're going to lay it all out. We're going to sort it all out, see what is something that has been offered and something that we've committed to send, things that are no longer, that are worthwhile but weren't in the premium list or have left off that list. And then the other piece of this is we are talking about having and setting up a separate web page and marketing arm related to all the intellectual property that you talk about, all the things that provide educational material. But we have to do it in a way that's compliant with the consent decree. And that's what we're going to do. And there are considerable issues. Anything that has Martin Luther King's voice on it is radioactive from a copyright standpoint, Matt. I don't know how I can drive it home, but this is a very litigious, for good reason, family. So anytime as a voice appears on reproduction, that is the family's legacy, and they have absolutely been shown to be aggressive in doing that. So we're not closing the door. We're just creating a context where we can get all of these things in a way that we can sort through them. And we're not closing the door to distributing it, but we're not a merchandising house. That's not what the license is for.
Chair, this is James. May I have a personal point of personal privilege?
James Sagerton?
Yes.
Okay, hold a second. Let me mark down that you're here. And you have a point of personal privilege? What is that? What do you got?
I just wanted to say I'm having phone issues. I'm going to be listening. I just wanted to get the fact that I'm here in. I'll be listening.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Point of order?
A point of order?
Well, I don't think Otis ever joined us with the you can listen on the stream.
You know, let me look here. Let me go into email and see if there's anything. Yeah, let me. Yes, and he says, completely engrossed in stuff. Sorry, I'll post it. So I think we're not on the stream, but I think it's going to be posted. It's going to be recorded and posted. All right? That's what I have. All right. Okay, so anybody else have any questions regarding this draft FY25 budget?
May I make an observation, Paul, as well?
Well, you want to be on a stack? Why don't we put you on a stack and see if anybody else wants to be in a stack, okay?
Should I be on the stack, Joan?
Okay, Joan DiLorenzo.
And
anybody
Serena,
else want to be?
And Serena.
Carolyn Corbin. Spoken already.
Roberts. Who else?
Carolyn McPherson.
McPherson.
And M.K. Williams, I have a question if it doesn't get covered by all the above.
Okay. All right. Well, that's five. And some of these people haven't spoken yet, so what we're going to do is the people who have not yet spoken are going to go ahead. And so we have Jack DePalma, Joan DiLorenzo, M.K. Williams, Serene Roberts, and Daryl McPherson. So, Jack DePalma, go ahead.
Leave me last, please.
What was that?
Leave me last.
You are last. Okay, Jack, go ahead.
Thank you, Paul. I guess I just want to reiterate what Matt said, and thank you, Bob, for taking care of that David Rothenberg payable. All good news, and thank you very much. It's good to understand what's going on. That it was a problem. We didn't know what was going on, and for a lot of years we operated in ways that probably were we needed to know what was going on. And maybe sometimes we didn't know. All that information given by the director, executive director, was very clarifying, elucidating about what do we call them? I forget the name, but the off record employees that weren't employees that drove the fund drives. That is very, very clarifying and very correct. And thank you very much for all that. And just to say, I'm so glad that the executive director has now published the meager amount, explained the meager amount of those side channels. It makes me laugh how much noise was made about. It's probably like I used to think the side channels would generate $500,000. So a couple of $1,000, I mean, you can buy an old car with it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next is Joan DiLorenzo.
Thank you. I think it's for the executive director. Being that we're asking outside help for the archives, I just wanted to make sure that there's something in place so that we don't lose any of the archives, that the archives are always going to stay with Pacifica, like there's no chance that somebody else could take that property. You know what I mean.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Oh, no, no. If you can answer, I appreciate it.
Yes, the agreement that we have with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, the Library of Congress, and the WGBH Educational Foundation, they have received funding from the Mellon Foundation, is to free of charge digitize 80,000, all 80,000 of our materials, and that does not, and then also on top of that, our paper materials as well. We maintain 100% intellectual property of all of the materials. We can, any sort of licensing, because they're going to host the digitization as well on their website, it will be backed, or they'll sponsor and support the website. It will be backed up at the Library of Congress. Any sort of licensing will go through the Pacifica Foundation, and we will manage and control that, and as I said, and maintain intellectual property for all of the materials. They will also be doing a full copyright search on all of the materials while they're being digitized to make sure that we do have the rights to the products that we have. And then once the materials are digitized, they will be returned to us, so we will have the original masters as well, and those will be stored.
Oh, that's great, because we don't want to lose the archives. That's our treasure.
100%, right. And we have some people that were, there was one party that was part of the original, early agreements where they were going to share some of the intellectual property, and that became an immediate no, and we pulled them out of the agreement. So, yes, there's no, we will never, ever was it ever any intention or any agreement would have been made with anyone if we were to lose any of the intellectual property of our materials.
Well, that's great. And the other question I had was the previous GM and the PG, are we still paying them? And then for how long is that going to continue?
No.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. The next person is M.K. Williams.
Hi. Well, my question is about the central services formula. Last year, we were informed BAI was a, quote, distress station, along with a couple other stations that had deficit budgets, and that our central services, you quoted it as 15% of the 2023 budget or revenue, and I was told it was had gone, you know, for distress stations, it was 8%. And yet this budget, it seems, is no longer a deficit budget. So is BAI no longer considered a distress station? And I'm wondering if that's really realistic, given that our BAI buddies dropped more than 50% and our daily listener member contributions have dropped considerably. Now, I know that there's been a change, and after every change, things change, and then they start to come back. But, and they are starting to come back. But I'm just wondering how realistic is it to no longer consider BAI a distress station, and what is the current central services formula? That's my question.
Pacifica works on an accrual accounting basis. So even if the station, even if a station would be considered struggling, and the central services would be dropped to, you know, say half of that, 8% or 7.5%, it would still be accrued and show as to what the what the expense would be. So it would still show up at 15%, because we need to be able to have accurate accounting records as to what an actual expense is, even if that expense isn't paid at that time, it still shows up in accrual accounting. So we would not budget in a 7.5% central service payment. And I wouldn't want to say that a station is in distress while we're working through the budget, but as we look at the budget on a regular basis, with WBAI's case and some of the other stations as well, refer to that budget on a monthly basis so we can project out and anticipate if there are any problems. And if we are moving forward and we see that it's going to be distressed, that, you know, central service payments, I mean, no central service payments were paid last year anyway, if we see that that is happening, then we can try to make those adjustments. But we haven't forced any of the stations to pay central services at all. The national office isn't going to go in and, you know, pull money from an account if a station doesn't have it, because we're all part of Pacifica and we want to make sure that the stations strive and that they pay, you know, they have the funds that are necessary to not only pay their payroll, but pay their vendors, pay their bills, and what they need to do to succeed.
May I just also make a note? I'm looking here at a flow chart of BI Buddies going back April 21st, was $19,257 worth with 1,118. And the last number that I have, and that was like, I guess that was 2 years ago, but looking now, August was 1,240 with a yield of 22,439, and that says August, and there have been about 120, 130 that have come back. So that's what I, at least that's the data that I have I can pull up right now. So it hasn't jumped, it hasn't declined by half, at least in the arc of the last couple of years.
Okay. Let me do a fast clarification. Okay, Kay, you're done?
Well, I just want to thank them. I'm not an accountant, okay, so I don't understand accrual accounting, but I just wanted to, you know, that was just, I wanted to know what their answer was on that. Thank you.
All right, just to clarify things for people, the following motion was passed by the NFC on April 11th, 2023, and on May 18th, the same thing was passed by the Pacifica National Board, and it's the motion about central services. And it is that the central services formula shall be 15% of total station revenue, all inclusive, calculated every month on a 6-month rolling average, starting 9 months before the current month, with the exception of any station suffering acute financial distress as determined by the PNB, for which central services shall be 8% for a period of no more than 1 year, with the remaining 7% to be accrued, unquote. So that's what we basically have is 15%, and you want to argue whether we're still okay for other rates or what, that's another argument. But there it is, yes, 15% of all revenue. All right. Next on the list, the stack here, is Serene Roberts. Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Okay, thanks. Two things. One is that the issue of subcarrier income going in and coming out is not just an accounting trick. When subcarrier income is credited to WBAI's central services outright, it reduces the amount that we owe. The way Someone might want to mute.
Yeah, whoever is coughing there, you might want to mute, if at all possible. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks. The way it's currently used now is that the money goes into the national office to reduce the total amount that they need to then generate in central services. So if this, let's say it's $5,000, this $5,000 comes in as WBAI's money, if you will. It goes into the national office. I'm not saying redirect it to locally, but it goes into the national office. It goes in as $5,000. If we were due to pay $8,000, we would have to pay an additional $3,000. What happens now is that $5,000 goes in to the national office, and let's say the national office's expense was $15,000. That $5,000 from New York's antennas goes in to the national office, and then they say to the entire network, oh, we now only need 10. And that 10 is going to come from all five stations. So it is not just that it goes to the national office, but how it's applied and when it's applied. So it is a big correction that is going to be properly applied first to WBI Central Services. And in looking at the fiscal year 2021 audit, the amount generated from subcarrier income was $124,000. I think I'd mentioned earlier that I'd seen it, so I went looking for it just now, and I'll send a link to the rest of you. But, you know, so to say we were getting $124,000 in fiscal year 21 and we're down now to getting only $3,300, it's, you know, and there was this quote of the previous ED said to this one and that one, you know, there have been misunderstandings and miscommunications, I'll say, about who has said what to whom over the years. In fact, the whole story now about what may and may not actually belong to us for use in the archives goes back to what the former archives director has been telling this PNB or a PNB for any number of years. This is not entirely a surprise to people who've been paying attention. But I will send the link about the $124,000, most of which, if not all of it, would have been BAI, because the Donson K had its antenna, its sidebands rented during that period, and that would have meant that pretty much all of that money was being generated from WBAI. I know it's not $1 million dollars, but, you know, $124,000 makes a difference in our budget. Thank you.
Okay, next on the stack is Daryl McPherson. Daryl, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just as a clarification, can I get the total debt again of Pacifica and then the total debt of WBAI?
Pacifica has approximately $4.2 million in loans that we, one is from FJC, which is a nonprofit based out of New York, and the other is the Small Business Administration. The aged payables is approximately, at this point, about $850,000 to various vendors, and that's not specific to one station, but that's across the entire network, all eight divisions.
So the total the BAI piece, just to share with you, we're in a situation where the prior owner of 388 Atlantic Avenue, we hadn't paid rent for a while. Apparently the closing could not be executed with this working capital group sees us unless the prior owner took that as a loss and ate it at the closing. So we started the clock running in April when they took possession. They were asking for $5,300 a month, and since April, we have countered that we gave them some additional space they requested in good faith by August 1st, and we are now are telling them that we only feel that because of the ongoing leak that was happening, which grew, which, by the way, we fixed, that we would pay them 3 months of past rent and that we would then negotiate a new lease based on the new square footage, which we're going to develop after we clean out all this clutter and get rid of the cockroach infestation and just basically see the space that's there unencumbered by. So that's one liability. The question of the ongoing issue of the premiums is the biggest on-the-book liability now. And that's roughly like in the $110,000 realm. We've made a little bit of progress on that, but we are attempting to reset that by getting all of the books and all the CDs in our possession in one place, working through that pile, and then going premium by premium and listener by listener to get to the place where they're satisfied. Now, there could potentially be, I'd estimate, a situation where things like water filters or appliances that, like that kind of thing, $200, those expensive items that may not be available or that we may not be able to afford. We do have to think that we may have to set aside a liability fund or some reserve of like $65,000 to refund money for things that we cannot actually redeem on. And so, anyway, so I just wanted that. That's my understanding of the liability that we have that's local to us. The picking up of the ACD was a big lift off of us, a big weight off of us that Pacifica, the foundation, is taking. So that's my sense of what looms out there in liabilities.
Do they get a number?
Paul, can I get on the stack, Mario?
Hold on a minute. We'll do a new stack shortly. I think Daryl just asked a question.
My understanding
Guys, somebody stepped on him, so I couldn't hear it. Sorry.
I'm unable to understand what the number is. If I came to you today, Bob, and I said, I got a check.
I just told
what you.
I just told you. It's $110,000 in outstanding premiums and $15,000 in rent that we are in the process of negotiating.
So
the ongoing power debt.
$150,000 is the total debt of WBAI?
Well, in terms of things that I'm in control of, that I'm aware of, there are other things that were that the station was involved with prior to my arrival, that, like the ACD thing, I didn't hire them. So I'm just telling you about the things that were not included in this budget that loom out there for us right now.
All right, so with regard to the call center, then, whose responsibility is that?
They are assuming their responsibility, even though it was our local decision to use them. They're taking the whole thing. It went to arbitration. It's a legal matter. It was resolved by a binding arbitration.
Uh-huh. And that's Pacifica.
Right.
Right. Okay, so what's the total Pacifica debt?
I think the executive director just gave you those numbers.
We have, yes, a $4.2 million in loans. And overall, I look at everything as Pacifica as a whole, because that's my responsibility, is to make sure that all eight divisions, which are our five stations, our affiliates, our archives, and our national office, are all part of the Pacifica Foundation. So when I look at aged payables, I look at aged payables that are from each station, and aged payables that are from, you know, that impact the entire foundation. So it's approximately, at this point, $840,000-some-odd. That includes past due bill for WBAI, the phone center. It did include the tower, but when that was paid off, we were able to clear that up. That also includes a past due amount for KPFK, for the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. That's not a responsibility of anybody, but KPFK, and we will pay that off in the proceeds of the sale of the building. So when you look at the overall deficit, again, I look at everything big picture for the entire foundation, because we're all part of that. So 4.2 million in loans and approximately 850, rounded up 900,000. We can round it down 800,000 in aged payables. And we are working
with our vendors. If someone gave you $6 million, that would take care of the Pacifica loan? I mean, the Pacifica debt?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Now, development director, whose responsibility is that? Is that Pacifica's or is that the individual stations and why?
Some of the stations have individual development directors. And then on the national level, we don't have a development director, but I have applied for various grants and have asked donors for money. The national office does not exist on just central services. We also get donations. We also get grants. But again, some of the stations can afford development directors, some can't. Some of the stations have development directors, but they view that development director as somebody who's focusing on fundraising for the during fund drives. Whereas I look at the development director as somebody who is managing grants, foundations, and major donors. And that's identifying them, that's researching them, that's figuring out what would be their best reason and amount that they could give, soliciting them, and then asking them, and then sorting them so we can continue that whole cycle again. But some stations don't have the funds for development director. So it can go either way. I have assisted WPFW, for example, in writing grants. I've assisted KPFK. I've assisted the affiliate network in writing grants. So that opportunity for people to go ahead and use the National Office for Assistance is I'm there 100%, but we don't have a development director per se on a national level. I carry that, and then we don't have it, as I said, on the local level, and some of the stations that do utilize it for more than just grant writing.
May I also say something? May I just say here, though, that for some reason, I don't know, like $50,000 that came in, like if you look at the money that I've been raising, you are getting for the same price as a interim general manager, someone that is actually getting money. So I think, and also creating the structure to be able to go develop and get more money. So that is, that function is kind of happening now. Would it be great to have somebody earmarked especially for that? Great. But for right now, we are in the process of getting large sums of money from places we never got it before.
Correct. And we have some programmers. I have assisted two programmers, for example, at WPFW, who got word of a grant that was out there, and they asked me for assistance. We met on a Zoom, spent a few hours together, wrote a grant. They got the funding. The director of the affiliate network had a grant opportunity for a reporter to be able to assist with the national programming and the convention and the elections. He did the base of the grant, sent it to me to review. We made a couple edits, sent it off. She got the money. So a lot of the general managers and programmers are actually working as development directors. KPFT, same thing. One of the programmers got a $15,000 grant to support his program. So everybody is because we don't have the funding to hire development people, everybody is working on their own, utilizing the talents that they have. And then, getting that work done.
That's wonderful. What I want to know is there a national strategy to increase our listenership? Is there anyone out there who is in touch with people who do that, so that we can increase our market share?
Yes, a lot of it is on the responsibility of the general managers and the program directors to really take a good close look at what is the impact of our programs on the community. Are we serving the community with our programming? Are we giving the community what they want to hear and what they need to hear rather than us just kind of telling them what we think they should hear? At some of the stations, KPFA, for example, just did a very large survey. And now we're breaking that down where they had surveys. People could go into their website. They could fill out the survey, the listeners, basically what do you like, what do you don't like, what do you listen to, what hours do you listen to, that kind of thing. And now we're breaking that down. Once we got the results from that, now we're breaking that down into focus groups, where we'll be having Zoom breakout sessions and focus groups where we're actually talking with the listeners as well, so we can make sure that we're providing them with what they want. And so that concept we will be rolling out over the other networks as well. But again, manpower, time, you know, we just don't have a lot of the staff that can cover that. But obviously we need to increase our listenership and make sure that our programs are reaching our community.
And Bob, are we doing, or is there a structure in which we could get volunteers to do outreach to individual union members so that we can capitalize on the wonderful job you're doing in pulling in that particular sector?
Yeah, we are actually working on deepening that relationship. One of the things is that also we are, folks have expressed concern about the fact that does us taking this money represent some kind of compromise? I would point out that the major movement of the New York City retirees, unionized civil servants who are protesting their large unions that tried to force them into Medicare Advantage, that we become the platform for that organizing drive, that we have a program committed, one of the more successful ones, on Friday morning. And so we are navigating this world of, yes, we're relevant to the labor community, but we're also holding labor accountable. And so, yes, but there is a deeper plan to engage rank-and-file memberships, and we're seeing fruits of that. I mean, this whole programming that we developed around 9/11 World Trade Center came out of that deeper conversation.
And that needs to be a premium. I understand what your feeling is. That needs to be a premium that needs to be in everybody's household. And this whole nonsense that the Congress makes people keep doing this dance to beg them for something that they just, well, let me go on.
All right, we're just about at time here. And okay. I think we're going to need to make a motion pretty soon regarding this. Do we want to pass this on to the LSP?
I'd like to make a motion to extend for half an hour.
Who's making the motion to extend something?
Daryl's making a motion to extend for 30 minutes.
Oh, Paul?
Okay, hold on a second, folks. Hold on a second. So you want to extend for 30 minutes. All right, does somebody have – somebody had something – do you want to amend this to a lower figure? No. All right.
I think people are trying to get your attention.
Well, somebody's saying something, and I don't hear them now. Okay, who's this?
Paul? Yeah, Jeffrey. You have 3 more minutes actually 2 more minutes left on the original 90 minutes, okay?
Right,
but
right.
The question is, once you do that, and if you add a certain amount of time, you're going to have to figure out the meeting is supposed to end at 9:30.
Right.
So you're going to have to be aware of that. And then you have a half an hour for the general manager, and then you have other things to do. So I want to figure, I will tell you at 9:30 that where we are, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to make an amendment. To make that 10 minutes, okay? I'm going to make an amendment to make that 10 minutes. So there's that, okay? So Daryl wants to extend the time for this item by 30 minutes, and I want to make that 10 minutes. And at the end of that, we're going to have to have a vote on something. So, is there any objection to amending that to be 10 minutes? Hearing none. Okay, so the motion is now to extend the time for this item by 10 minutes. Is there any objection to that? Okay, so that's passed.
Point of information.
So, who's this? What?
This is Jack. A point of information. We're extending the time of which item?
the general manager's report, the executive director's report?
We're on.
It was 30 minutes for the general manager.
Okay, let me get into the agenda. We're on Pacifica and WBAI and Pacifica Management present a draft FY25 budget proposal. That's what we're on. And so now we just voted to do 10 minutes more, so we're extending, and Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 2100 right now, which means this is an additional 10 minutes, so what does that bring it to?
I have 902, so I figured you're talking 912.
Okay, 912. Okay, fine. 9:12.
Mario.
So we're going to go on, and we got to keep in mind we got to have a vote. So I guess we're getting a stack, but understand, no guarantee the stack will get exhausted. Mario wants to say something. Does somebody, anybody
finished?
Else want to be on the stack?
Is Daryl finished?
Daryl, are you finished?
Yes. No. Yeah, Daryl, this is Ali. Can you put me in the stack, please? And
Daryl,
I don't think you should be on the stack anymore. Thank you.
Let's see if Daryl is done. Daryl, are you done?
No.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, we'll let you continue, I guess. And, all right,
I'm
so Daryl, go ahead.
Did you hear me
all
out
right.
of the stack?
Okay,
all right,
folks, right now Daryl has the floor, and we're going to do a stack if we get that far. So, Daryl, please wrap up.
Be brief.
Thank you. Thank you. Bob, are there any plans to distribute dust and the programming that you did around 9/11? And has anybody done outreach to the King family?
So we are in the process now. We will be doing something with dust, and I'm trying to work with the filmmaker and see what we can do to also include that. I think it was the first time that exclusively female first responders got to address these issues. And so as far as the King family, I think we need to work through Stephanie on this. I think it would be appropriate for our general counsel to reach out, because this is not just our issue, but Stephanie, hasn't this issue of the King family and these kinds of issues shown up across other stations? Stephanie, you there? So anyway, all I can tell you is that I do think we need to have a direct conversation, but I want to do an efficient economy of effort. And we'll start that conversation. I'll be glad to do that. I know that Mimi had said at one point that she had something in her possession, but she couldn't find it. But again, I'm just trying to avoid us getting into a litigious thing. That doesn't mean that we can't ask to try to have a conversation about fair use, and I'll explore that.
Well, totally understood. Last thing, well, maybe I should wait until your report then. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, so now we'll take a stack, understanding, we're going to...
Mario?
So, Mario, anybody else want to be on a stack?
Doreen asked.
Yeah,
Robert.
Ali.
Murphy. Anybody else?
Matt. I would like...
Matt. Anybody else? All right, Ali Murphy hasn't said anything yet, so I'm going to put Ali Murphy at the top of this since the other three people have already spoken. So, Ali Murphy, go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Arpal. Yes, and this is for Bob. You were talking about the premiums and also about liability. It's possible those premiums that you're not going to be able to buy, and you said that you have a liability and it's about over $100,000, I thought that you said, to call some of the listeners that you're going to be owing those premiums for whatever it is, the water filter, whatever is the thing that, WBI owes these people. May perhaps those should be a list and of these listeners and to call them to see if they will take half of what these things they have already pledged, and then if it's money to be returned, perhaps they might take half of what they already have pledged on those premiums. That is just an idea, and that's one thing. The other thing was to Stephanie, but I guess you just call her name, Bob, and she didn't answer, so I guess she's not here. She's no longer
here.
Here.
Yeah, she may have thought that we
okay. Yes. When you were talking about the consultants, because this is something that we had talked about in this meeting previously with the general manager, he used to talk a lot about the consultants. And I just was wondering, because you only mentioned about one consultant, and I just was wondering if it just was one consultant for the whole foundation, for the whole foundation. Do we have any consultants in at WBAI? What is the role that do they play, if we do? And my last thing to Stephanie is I know the decision that it was made without consulting with LSB, WBLSB. If you have to make another decision and you need to consult with the WBLSB, I wanted to know if you would be inclined to come to us and consult with us for any decision that it has to be made that we have to be involved. Thank you. I'm done.
The consultants that we talked about that are in connection with WBAI are the consultants that are they're listed in the budget, which was an IT person and one of the engineers, and then some of the engineers that are brought in as relief engineers also are listed on the consultant line. The consultants that the station had in the past, a lot of those consultants were for pitching, and a lot of the producers that were paid were considered consultants as well, and that's reflected in the budget, as I said earlier, with fiscal years 21-22-23. Are those the consultants you're referring to?
No, the former general manager, that's why he actually mentioned before that, because he called them consultants, but he mentioned that there were people that they were working for, they were employees of WBAI, but they were still called consultants. And I found that that these people, they work for the station, but they also are being called consultants. So I would just always find it kind of odd. That's all. That's the reason that I'm asking that question.
Yeah, they weren't listed. They weren't ever considered employees, meaning that they weren't on the payroll. They weren't receiving benefits. So the consultants that were listed as consultants were consultants, not considered an employee. But consultants are technically vendors.
Okay, thank you.
I also, this is also something, one of the things that we did have difficulty with is the fact that the precarious nature of employment was an issue, where we had one person who was carried as a contractor who wasn't paid for several months, and then other people that were paid informally through Zelle. And so what this budget reflects is, and then this also became an issue because, and it's okay because I've, Kaziah, for instance, was being carried as a contractor, doing what was a union position. Producer was defined in the contract. Leonard was a union person who was getting 60, whatever wage it was, and she wasn't getting scale, and that was directly flew in the face of the contract. So we are trying to reconcile all of that, and now going forward, for instance, the engineers, there won't be a discount. When we have our four engineers who we're so grateful for their union, they take their vacation. We were paying the relief engineers at a discount, and not at least the beginning rate of union engineers. So we are trying to get right with all the institutions that we interact with. The other question, Stephanie, while you're on the line, I don't think you heard this. Daryl asked the question about reaching out to the King family about fair use. And I was saying I didn't think that BAI by itself should do it. And I was wondering, has the issue of using, has this surfaced in other stations, and should perhaps Pacifica make an effort to find out if there is some fair use accommodation we can have with the King family? Are you there? I guess I'm having luck today. All right. Are you there, Paul?
Okay. I think the executive director is not here at this moment. Right?
No, I'm here. Sorry.
You are there? Okay.
Did you hear my question?
The interim general manager has a question for you.
Yes, I'm sorry. I got a phone call from somebody else, and I was telling him I was on a phone call. So
I was just saying it came up. Daryl asked about the question of me approaching the King family about fair use, and I was saying that this is something perhaps the foundation should undertake, because I can imagine we're not the only station that has been interested in using Martin Luther King's words.
100%, and the foundation has dealt with that. It is basically a legal issue that may not be the best time and place to work on that, but we are not in a, we cannot use anything with Martin Luther King, with the King family. We have to get full. Yeah, we can't use anything. Just because it was on the air doesn't necessarily mean that it belongs to us. So we need to get full approval from their family and legal approve it to use it, licensing fees. These are things that Pacifica was working on well before I got here.
Mario.
Okay, so we're going into the next person is Mario. Go ahead, Mario Mastrandrea.
Okay, really quick. Are Bob and Keziah on getting on there? Are they on salary, or are they volunteering?
They are salary.
Yeah.
Okay. So the answer to the consultants was they're still consultants being used, 1099 consultants, whatever.
The only person that is, we have the engineers that are released there, because when the station cut personnel, it really did in engineering. We can't cover 24/7 with four engineers. That's what we have. So now we have to rely on a cadre of 1099, like people that are based on when those people go on vacation. We are taking a step towards accounting for that. You'll notice in the budget that it's about roughly equivalent to a full-time position. It would be my hope that we would be able to migrate to actually hiring a full-time engineer, and I'm working with the union towards that end.
Okay. Time has been called.
I had another question. Yeah.
Well, time has been called, Mario. So if somebody wants to extend again, they can try that. But
move to extend.
I'm making motions.
All right. I hear someone else making a motion, Mario. Yes, Serene Roberts, what's your motion?
10 minutes, please.
Another 10?
Please.
Okay, the motion is to extend this item by 10 minutes. Okay. Okay, is there any objection to extending this item by an additional 10 minutes?
So I have to tell you, I have to prepare things for tomorrow because we had Felipe is called out, so I'm kind of up against it now. So
all right,
just
I hear you.
That.
All right. So, folks, you've heard that. I got to say, I will be okay with this, but not past this for me. So, is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes? Hearing none, we are extended for 10 more minutes. Mr. Timekeeper, I make it 21:16, so at 21:26, We are going to have
to... Apparently, I object.
Who's objecting?
This is Jack.
What are you objecting to, Jack? Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you object to the motion.
Another... Right.
Okay, I didn't hear that. All right. Okay, so that means we're going to a vote.
I apologize, Arpol. It's late. That's what Bob just said, didn't he?
Yeah, okay, here we go. Okay. Let me write that down. 10 minutes. Okay, so we're going to vote. The motion is to extend the time for this item by an additional 10 minutes. Please answer up when you hear your name. Joan DiLorenzo.
Pass.
I couldn't hear you. What?
Pass.
Pass. Jack DePalma.
No.
Martin Flynn. Martin Flynn.
Martin Flynn.
Noel Jameson.
Hey.
Noel Jameson. R. Paul Martin. I'll pass. Matt Mazza.
Yes.
Carolyn McIntyre. Daryl McPherson.
Yes.
Allie Murphy.
Yes.
Bertold Reimers. Serene Roberts.
Yes.
James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
No.
Michael D.D. White. M.K. Williams.
No.
Going back to the people passing. Joan DiLorenzo.
Yes.
Martin Flynn. Martin Flynn, last call. Noel Jameson. Noel Jameson, last call. Okay, R. Paul Martin. I'm going to say no. Carolyn McIntyre. Bertold Reimers. James Sagerton. Michael D.D. White. Okay, it's 5-4, 4 against. It requires 2/3. So it's 5-4, so it fails. Motion to go for 10 more minutes fails. So here we go. All right, so we are at the end of this. I will make a motion to extend for 5 minutes for the purpose of considering a motion regarding this budget. So that's what I do. We're going to go for 5 minutes. 5 minutes for a motion. Okay, so the motion is to extend the time for this item for 5 minutes for a motion. Is there any objection to that?
Mr. Chair, what about the fact that I needed about another minute?
You ran out of time, Mario. 5 minutes for a motion. Is there any objection to that motion?
The motion took 10 minutes.
Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none. Any objection? You better do it now. I hear none. Okay, that's passed without objection, Mr. Timekeeper. It is now 21:19. Let's say okay. So the motion. Who wants to say something? I'm making a motion.
Jack.
After I make a motion, there can be debate.
I'm sorry. I like the motion. I bet you nobody's opposed to it because we want to talk about the budget.
Okay, hold on a second. To pass the draft FY25 budget to the LSB. I'm going to put something to, okay, and recommend its approval. 1 second. Okay, the motion is to pass the draft FY25 budget to the LSB and recommend its approval. That's, of course, amendable if somebody doesn't like that last part, but there you go. It's on the floor. So, debate on this.
May I speak? This is Jack.
Doreen took Jack.
De Palma. Who else?
Doreen.
Roberts. Anybody else? Okay, let's go with those two first. De Palma, go ahead.
Paul, I really don't like spreadsheets, so I was going to ask the executive director for a narrative or like, you know, but I know you do that as well, and you're really good at it, too. So maybe the budget can be turned into a set of observations, like, you know, we need $1.3 million. We have a budget to pay salaries and expenses of this and this and this. Things like that, where the big numbers are brought out in that context. And the other thing I would say is that I'm thinking that what I heard about the budget sounds very realistic and likable, because it seems that even though we're in the hardship of not having as much listeners as we would prefer to have, we're not really hitting the brick wall that might have seemed inevitable if we just stopped selling stuff. I'm glad we're not selling stuff anymore, to be honest with you. Thank you, Paul.
Okay. Next is Serene Roberts. You have the floor.
I like what I heard, by the way, if I should say that.
Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Daryl for the staff.
Serene Roberts, go ahead.
I think there are a number of things that are needed before this budget should leave the committee. I think the committee needs to have a discussion on our priorities, the priorities we recommend that the LSB adopt in terms of what we think the needs are. I know that the executive director said to me previously that, in fact, there was a development person on board or coming aboard. I was trying to get them to start with work on WBAI. At the time, she said they were going to start with work at KPFK, but earlier a short while ago, she said that there is no development person, so that needs to be clarified. WBI certainly needs the services of a development person, whether that person is shared around the network or something, but we need someone who's raising money. The whole thing of payola and plugola and sending producers out to rustle up money from various sources, I don't like the smell of it. I think it's going to create many problems. We need to have someone who stands between the person who's on air and the people who are trying to get to pay for that, beyond the pitches that we make to ordinary listeners, which are more people are being more serious about. I know that Linda and Berthel had implemented a certain, you've got to spend a certain amount of time pitching per hour, because there are people who are more lackadaisical than others about getting the money in. We get that. But I think that first a discussion of spending priorities and a list of the positions that are in that $440,000, including the salaries. I wrote to the ED today and copied the other three directors, because as national board members, we're entitled to that information. As an LSB, you know, when interim management was put in place, we had no idea under what conditions, what are the terms, and what are the salaries. That information should have been, well, there's a lot that should have been done differently with regard to how the LSB was handled. And I noticed that when Ali specifically asked the ED whether or not she would essentially comply with the bylaws, there was no response, which is troubling. But no, the budget is not ready. There are many questions.
Fine.
I think we should be, sorry?
Fine.
The timekeeper is called time. So.
Okay, let's finish my sentence, please. I don't think we should be sending through a budget that we ourselves haven't had a chance to really look at. The first time I knew there was a budget was when it was mentioned on this call. So, no, it's not ready to go.
Okay, so... No, unless you've got a point of order that's really a point of order, no. Okay, all right. The motion is to to pass the draft FY25 budget to the LSB and recommend its approval. So we're going to a vote on that. Please answer up when you hear your name. Oops, not that one. okay. Sorry. Okay, so it's to I just read it, and here we go. Joan DiLorenzo.
No.
Jack DePalma.
Yes. Thank you, Paul.
Martin Flynn. Noel Jameson. R. Paul Martin, I'll pass. Matt Mazza?
Yes.
Carolyn McIntyre, Daryl McPherson?
No.
Allie Murphy?
No.
Bertold Reimers, Serene Roberts?
No.
That was a no?
Correct.
Okay,
no.
That was correct. James Sagerton. Jeffrey Stern.
No.
No.
Well, Sagerton, you're here? Okay. That's a no from Sagerton. Okay, Jeffrey Stern. Okay, too many people talking. James Sagerton votes no. Jeffrey Stern, how do you vote?
No.
Michael D.D. White, M.K. Williams.
Yeah.
Going back, Martin Flynn, Noel Jameson, R. Paul Martin. I'll say yes. Carolyn McIntyre, Bertold Reimers, Michael D.D. White. Okay, that's everybody, I think. 4-4, 6 against, motion fails. Okay. What this means is that we are now at the, we have exhausted this part of our meeting, and we go on to the next agenda item, which is not going to last long. It's going to be WBAI Manager's Report on WBAI's Finances. So, Mr. Henley, you have the floor.
Well, I think we've exhausted the conversation. I've told you what my circumstance is. I'm working right now and still have another couple of hours of work to do. And so I'm here if you want to continue to ask questions, but I have nothing more to say.
Okay.
I'm Mario to the stack.
What are you going to do? Oh, Mario. Well, let me look at this. What is our time on this one? This item is for 10 minutes, and so Mario, do you really want to do that?
Of course.
Okay, go ahead, Mario.
Okay, the LSB has a search committee for a permanent GM and a permanent PD. So, will there be money in the budget in the future, or do they see a problem with paying the permanent team? And also, Daryl brought up in his question volunteers, and it was never answered. And the executive director said, we're so understaffed, we're overwhelmed, and so we're not getting anywhere with volunteers, are we?
That's not accurate. We do have people doing things there. We couldn't accomplish all that we did.
I would imagine it's a select group. Yeah.
No, it's not a select group. It's not, and we also had an issue with the fact that we had to deal with the leak that was in the place. And no, there's not. There are people that are volunteering, and we have interns.
Well, let me volunteer that I'm a plumber, mechanic. So if you want me to look at it,
that's great. So it's repair. We're glad to.
I'll do it.
You know my phone number. You call it all the time.
All right, I'll call you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the timekeeper is called time. It is indeed 9:30 p.m. The next thing we have to do is set next meeting date, so I am going to make a motion that we extend the meeting by 5 minutes. So, meeting... 5 minutes. Okay, so is there any objection to extending the time for this meeting by 5 minutes? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. Okay, so the next item we're on right now is set next meeting date. Looking at things,
before.
I will propose, let's see.
Can you hear me?
I hear you, but I'm speaking at the moment, so let me speak. All right, the next LSB meeting is on the 9th. Boy, October 2nd is going to be a bad time for me. Let me propose first, the way we've done this before. I will propose that we meet on, October 18th, okay? Okay, I move that we meet on October 18th, and if somebody wants to amend that with something else, they're free to do so.
October 18th is a Friday. Are we looking at the same calendar?
October?
I think so.
October 16th, I'm sorry. Yeah, 16th. I looked at today's date. Okay. So I move we meet on October 16th. Okay?
Any debate or amendment on that? I would like to amend that.
Okay, go ahead.
So I would propose that we meet either on the 25th, either a week from today or a week from then. So 1 or 2 weeks from today, so that we are sure to have some of the issues that I raised, and I'm sure others may want to raise other things before the LSB meeting. It would be good to be able to present the budget to them at the meeting on the 11th. The fiscal year already, you know, it begins on the 1st. So.
Hold on, let me see what's on. I don't know that we can really do next week. I think there's not enough. I don't think we give enough lead time with that. Let me look at kpftx.org, see what the hell's up there for this week.
Paul?
Yes.
I object.
All right, hold on a second. All right. All right. So, which day do you want to meet? Okay. Are you moving to an addition meet on?
Well, you know, whenever the regular meeting happens, it happens. But I would like us to meet as a committee before the LSB meet.
Well, give me a date.
So, I propose the 25th, which is a week from today. Because you've already, well, I have a point of information.
Yeah?
You said that the 2nd is difficult for you. Is it like difficult as in impossible or difficult as in a little rough?
It would be a problem. I suppose if I really had to, I could, change things and meet on October 2nd.
That would be good. It would give 2 weeks from today for management, national and local management, to get some things to us.
Okay, so
it would still allow us. Yes. So
are you moving to make it October 2nd?
I am.
Okay, so we have a main motion on the floor, which is to meet on October 16th. And then we have an amendment that says, and in addition to meet on October 2nd. Okay, and I think we don't have time for anything more. So is there any objection to adding in addition meet on October 2nd? Okay. That passes without objection. For the main motion as amended, it now reads that we meet on October 16th and in addition on October 2nd. Is there any objection to that amended motion? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. And at this point in time is up again, and unless somebody wants to extend, we're going to adjourn. I don't hear.
Wow, I'm
going to
be a member by the end of October.
I don't hear a. Oh God. I gotta do that. Crap. Okay. That reminded me, Mario. I gotta do this stupid.
That's
crap
my job.
Yeah, I know. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member must sign in. Okay, look, is anybody here who wants to become a member and wants to give me their name?
Mario.
Hearing none. Mario's the only one. So Mario's the only one, and there's none of that. So that's it. We're done. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Bob Bentley. Thank you, Stephanie Walls. Thank you, Serena Roberts.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.